For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Bradley Fuller. From playing double bass to teaching historic performance at Juilliard to writing poetry and works of music, Doug Balliet stays busy. As composer in residence for the chamber music series of the 42nd Spoleto Festival USA, Doug is not only providing perspective on the interpretation of his original works and arrangements, he is also a featured performer in a majority of the series' 33 concerts. I spoke with Doug recently about his works, his dual role as performer and composer, and the inspiration he draws from classical mythology and medieval legend. Here are a few excerpts from that conversation. Well, Doug, thanks so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for speaking with me, Bradley.
Absolutely. I'm guessing that you stay pretty busy between your roles as a double bassist, an instructor of historical performance practice on that instrument at Juilliard, a composer, and also as a member of a group described as half band, half book club.
Yes, I love the mosaic career, although that's all still in the very narrow compass of musician, I guess you would say. But I was with that band book club last night. It's called Oracle Hysterical. We're just releasing a new album based on Euripides, Hecuba. I'm a bit of a classics guy. I love the ancient literature. I love it. And we have sort of like a psychedelic Baroque rock album based on that. And so we were just rehearsing it at Princeton. It was great.
Psychedelic Baroque rock?
Yeah, I think that's like the briefest way I can put it. I don't know. I hate to just call it straight rock music, and I guess, you know, genuine rockers would take exception to that also. There's a lot of bassoon clouds and viola da gamba layering, but also like some really heavy thumping beats, a little bit of mathy stuff, and more than anything, a healthy dose of Euripides and that ancient Greek drama.
Have you always had this love for the classics or for these medieval legends, or is this something that manifested itself a little more recently?
No, I remember being really little and, you know, having these big picture books of Greek myths, and they were my favorite things to sit and look through. It's the sort of thing that you forget about, you know, now and again for a few years and you come back to it and it's like an old friend or whatever. The medieval stuff came later, but it's a natural extension of that, and I love history.
Your interest in classics, and not only in literature, but also in terms of music classics, is being carried over into this year's Spoleto Festival, which you're serving as the composer-in-residence of. Is this your first time working with the festival?
It's my first time working with the festival. I've heard great things about it. My twin brother went as a bassoonist years ago as a student, and he came back with some hilarious stories and a lot of great musical anecdotes as well. So I've always wanted to do something there, and it's never come up. And it's so cool to me to go there as a creator and as a bass player.
How did this opportunity come up? I mean, who mentioned it to you or extended the offer?
I was writing for a string quartet in California called the St. Lawrence String Quartet. I wrote a piece for them for my longtime vocal collaborator, Major O'Connery, with string quartet. A very hard on the sleeve, like I was in love at the time, madly in love, still am. But it came through in the piece. And Jeff, the first violinist, is really running a lot of things at Spoleto. And he loved the piece and said, you got to write more for us and for the other guests that are going to be at the festival. Why don't you come be in residence this year? And I was like, yeah, that sounds great.
And your residency is involving not only these pieces that you've composed, which we'll get to in a minute, but also you're performing on 8 out of 11 of the chamber music programs?
That's right. And I'm planning on exercising every day also. So it's going to be a busy festival.
If you don't mind, what type of exercise regimen do you have?
I'm a runner. I love running. But that is to say, it is going to be you know, sort of two jobs at once, but I love that. I love summer festivals, and I love long days.
Well, Charleston has quite a lot to explore, as you may find on some of your runs, I think.
Really? You have to recommend some good places.
Well, if you're a history or architecture buff, you're in luck, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yes.
So do you find or do you anticipate being a little bit pulled in two different directions, having to play double bass and watch out for your children of compositions, if you will, or will you be focusing mainly on one once the time comes and kind of just letting the other happen as it may?
Exactly. That's a great question and a very good way of putting it. But if I do things right, all of the composition will be done before I get there, and I can just enjoy the process of putting them together and be a bass player.
So let's talk about some of these compositions you have. There are two world premieres, the first of which is Gawain's Journey. Is this the Gawain of Arthurian legend?
That's exactly the Gawain. That's right. And that's a first string octet.
And what's the origin of this piece? Tell me some about the story behind it or anything that's gone into it.
I've been a little bit obsessed with this 14th century poem for a while called Gawain and the Green Knight. It's a really wild story, very bizarre, with roots like deep in human mythology, the sort of meeting of two stories. And I've always wanted to create some sort of musical version of it. And it seems the time has come. And when I was thinking about what can I possibly do for string octet, for two of the best string quartets in America, I mean, the journey portion of Gawain is so epic and has so many kind of incidents and little vignettes and scenes along the way. It really spoke to me as the perfect fodder, perfect inspiration. And I won't be the first composer to tackle a Gawain's Journey. Harrison Birtwistle, one of my favorite composers, also has one. And this can also be a kernel to build the piece around. There's going to be a string quintet also at the beginning of the festival where I'm going to be playing bass and speaking along with the St. Lawrence String Quartet. And that'll be scene one from the, you know, from the entire Gawain story, which is big party at Camelot, sort of introduction of the characters, but mostly just a good time eating and drinking music.
Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah.
So this Gawain's Journey, it's dealing mainly with his movement from Camelot to one of the Lord's Castle, I think it was, the Green Knight's Chapel, was that it?
Oh, yes, Bradley, I'm so glad that you know this story. I'm impressed. The Green Knight comes, he interrupts this big party and says, who wants to play this head-chopping game? Very bizarre game where you get to chop off the Green Knight's head, but then you have to go to his house and get your head chopped off a year later. And that's his journey. He has no idea how to get there. He just leaves, asks people along the way, has a lot of fights, a lot of icy nights under the snow, trolls and wolves and bears. It's just a string octet waiting to be written.
So you got to have a little bit of swaggering self-confidence to be Gawain, is that right?
I mean, Gawain was born with it. He can't turn it off. He meets people on the way and they go, oh, you're Gawain, I've heard all about you and your swaggering self-confidence that you were born with. He's the first to leap up and say, I'm going to fight this Green Knight. And the ladies love him. That's the other thing.
Now, there's one lady that loves him a little too much, right?
That's Lady Hautdesert. This is where things get really a bit strange. He stops at this house, and it's the Green Knight, like, in disguise, and his wife. And his wife every morning comes and wakes up Gawain a little more sensuously each time, just with one kiss the first morning, with two kisses the second morning, a few more kisses the third morning. And Gawain is the perfect man, and he's devoted himself to Lady Guinevere. So he's not touching her. He's really... But he can't insult her either. It's a fine line to walk, and I don't, yeah.
Well, how do you capture that between these, well, the two string quartets joining together to make a string octet? Do you mind sharing a little bit about your compositional procedure there to express and capture some of this?
Sure. So I've got this musical material ready that is just sort of like pure music. To be honest, it could be marching band, it could be jazz band, it could be orchestrated anyhow. It happens to be going, and that's usually the way I write, is not so much for specific instruments as I'm conceiving of it. This is a little bit different. It's like, so now I have two great string quartets with two great personalities. The St. Lawrence that just does Haydn perfectly, you know, and their bread and butter is the great works of the string quartet repertoire. And then Jack, which is known all over the world for their interpretation of cutting-edge string quartet music, just the most advanced techniques. So as I translate these musical ideas into music for two string quartets, I'm thinking entirely about personality, and not even just the reputations of the quartets, but about all the members of the quartet.
Would you say that's a big part of your compositional approach overall?
I can only speak for myself when I'm playing in an orchestra or a chamber piece. There's a certain level of challenge They go apart, even completely apart from your aesthetic preferences. There's a certain level of challenge that isn't so hard that you have to spend weeks shedding it, but is also not so easy that you can sight read it. There's like that sweet spot where you're really challenged, you have to do a bit of work going into it, but you can nail it. And when you nail it, you feel really good. Those are the pieces where the performers come off stage going, that was so fun. Didn't you have a blast? And that's, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I've ever hit that mark exactly, but it is what I aim for when I'm writing for instruments.
Trying to sever the head of the Green Knight.
Yes. Yeah, you got to hit it square down the middle.
Well, Doug, all best at this year's festival, and you try to strike that balance just right. Thanks so much for joining me.
Cool. Thank you very much, and it was great talking with you.
Part of a conversation I had with Doug Balliot, the 2018 Composer-in-Residence for the Spoleto Festival USA Chamber Music Series. In addition to the world premieres of his string octet, Gawain's Journey, and his fanfare for trombone, double bass, and bass clarinet, are performances of his Ovid-inspired Daphne for violin and bass narrator, and his Three Barrizzo Songs, a setting of poems by J. May Barrizzo that form a response to the ideals of femininity expressed in Robert Schumann's Frauenliebe und Leben, A Woman's Life and Love. Doug's arrangement of the Queen song Who Wants to Live Forever will bring this year's series to a close. The Spoleto Festival Chamber Music Series, held at the Dock Street Theater in Charleston through June 10th, consists of twice-daily performances of programs representing a wide range of stylistic influences. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Bradley Fuller.